I absolutely love 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I do. I love the whole thing. And it is difficult sometimes to narrow it down to a part to talk about, because the whole thing is so good and it's all so tied together. But for time's sake this morning, let's start in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I love that part. That's whether I live or whether I die, I got it made. Amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Glory to God. What a promise that is. It's going to be so quick, it's a twinkling of an eye. Now, what is a twinkling of an eye? I know what a second is. And that's not a very long span of time. I know what a millisecond is. I know that they got lasers that can do like that a million times in 1 second. But it's hard to find somebody that can define what a twinkle is. Because a twinkle is almost a non-existent thing. A twinkle is it's almost an illusion. And the best way I know to describe a twinkle is, especially some of you married folks, y'all know what a twinkle is. Now, my wife and I have been married almost 48 years. And we a lot of times experience nonverbal communication. I just know what she's thinking. I know what she's going to say. And she doesn't have to open her mouth. We'll be out shopping or in a restaurant, and somebody will come by that's a real Lulu, you know. And I look around and say, why do you look around? Because I know when I look around, she's going to give me this signal. And I just kind of like that, and out of the corner of my eye, in that peripheral vision, I see her eyes and I know. It just passes. You know, it's not like you can actually define it. You couldn't say this is exactly what it looks like, or this is how big it was, or this is what it weighed, or this is how long it lasted. It's so quick, it's so imperceptible, yet if you've ever been married, if you've ever experienced that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know it's real. Amen? It was just a twinkle in her eye, but it communicated all kind of stuff. Well, the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be changed. We're going to be raised in a moment in the twinkle of an eye. I mean, took me a lot longer to talk about it than it's going to take for it to happen. So, in the twinkle of an eye, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That's my mama. That's my grandmama. Both my granddaddies. That's my wife's mama and her daddy. And her brother, and both her sisters. That's Brother Lewis's mama, and his daddy. That's Penny. That's your mother. And anybody else in here, it's your mother. It's your brother. Anybody you know that was saved and washed the blood of the Lamb, when that day comes, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. That's who he's talking about. That has an impact on my life. That thing has an impact on my family. And that verse excites me. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That's in Hosea chapter 13, verse 14, if you want to look it up. It says, as it is written. That's where it's written. Way back over there in the Old Testament. Okay? Them boys had an idea about the resurrection coming. Amen. Where am I at? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that victory over death only comes one way. It comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. Allah didn't promise that to anybody. The best that phony could do was offer 40 virgins. That's the best offer he had. Jesus Christ going to give me a new body and raise my kinfolks and raise me up and change my vile body like unto his glorious body, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. Going to bring me up out of the grave. Not going to just be my soul wandering around in limbo in Valhalla or some weird place forever and ever. I'm going to have a body and a soul and a spirit. It's going to be me, all of me, complete and entire, because the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his resurrection wasn't a partial atonement. It wasn't limited to a specific group, but neither was it limited to only part of me. It's the whole man got redeemed. Amen? And so the whole man comes up out of the grave. All those other phony religions can never offer the whole thing. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, because these things are so, he admonishes us to keep on keeping on. Don't give up, don't give out, don't give in. Keep on keeping on. Hang on, don't throw in the towel, don't throw away your confidence, don't throw away your reward. Just stand fast, stay true unto death, and God will reward. Now, this is Resurrection Sunday. I made mention a minute ago that the Jews today, this week, are celebrating Passover, and the heathen, the pagans, are celebrating Easter. And you and I, as Christians, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I know a lot of Christians are uninformed. They're not readers. And they thought that this was Easter for Christians. Easter has never been for Christians. It is not for Christians today. And it never will be. The only place Easter, which is Astarte Day, is mentioned in the Bible in a little book of Acts, and they've got Paul in jail, and the Roman soldiers are guarding him, and it says that the guard was going to bring Paul forth out of prison to take him to Caesar after Easter. They wasn't going to let him out for Easter, he's going to let him out after Easter. And why? Because Easter was the guard's holiday, not Paul's. So the guard said, I'm not going to mess with him until my four-day weekend is over. I've got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday off, and I'm not messing with this Jew and let him mess up my holiday. The wife has got plans. We're having Easter dinner with the family. We're going down to the coast for a day or two. And this guy is not going to mess up my time. So I'm going to wait until my holiday is over and completed. Then will I bring this troublemaker forth. That's the only reference to Easter in the Bible. Now, there are plenty of references to Easter in ancient literature. It was and is a pagan, non-Christian holiday. We don't do bunny rabbits and we don't do Easter eggs. Those are pagan concepts. Those were the worship of a fertility god. We are Christians, and we are excited about the resurrection of our Savior. Amen. Now, so I'm going to bring you a little message this morning entitled, Why? Why? Well, why what? Well, I'm glad you asked. Now, give me a few minutes and I will answer your question. Number one, why, that's not why, that's why. We're not whining, we're asking a question here. Why a Savior? Why do we need one? What do we need one for? You know, if you're a Buddhist or a Hindu or something, you don't need a savior. You just keep reincarnating and reincarnating and reincarnating until sooner or later, maybe, hopefully, somehow, you figure it all out and you get back together with the big one. You know? And it might, you might have to reincarnate 50,000 times. I'll tell you what, I don't want to make the mistakes I've made in my lifetime again and again and again. Once is enough. Amen? But no other resurrection, or no other offer you what Christianity does. Now, but why do we need a Savior? And what is it that no other religion deals with? Payment for transgression, payment for sin. You need a Savior because you are a sinner. Amen. That Bible said in Romans chapter 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, 23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we needed a Savior. Amen. We didn't need a buddy. We don't need a pal. We don't need to self-mortification. We don't need to mutilate our bodies. What we need is somebody to take care of our sin problem. We need a Savior. Say why? Because the wages of sin is death. If you sin, you die. Whereas by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. Let me tell you why you're going in the graveyard. It's not because of bad chemistry. It's not because of genetic defects. You're going in the graveyard because you're a sinner. If there hadn't been any sin, we'd all live happily ever after. That's the desire of everybody's heart. Every little fairy tale ends and they live happily ever after. Well, if you're a sinner and you die and go to hell, you do not live happily ever after. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what you need. You need a Savior, and you need one because you are a sinner and sin pays wages. The wages of sin is death. You're going to die and go in the ground, and you're going to die and go to hell because of sin. Not a three-letter word, not the concept, but deeds done in the body. Real, literal acts of rebellion against a holy and a righteous God. For sin is the transgression of the law. That's why. I promised my wife I would be very brief today. Number two. Now, why a Savior? Because we're sinners. Why a sacrifice? Because sin's wages must be paid. It's not complicated. Salvation, Christianity is not a complicated religion. God got it fixed up so these little chaps sitting here this morning can get it. Why sacrifice? Because sin pays wages, and the wages must be paid. Now, they can be paid one of two ways. You can pay them yourself. And since your sin was an eternal transgression, your payment will be an eternal payment. You will stay forever and ever and ever and ever in a burning hell. Now, I know Einstein thought hell was in the mind. That was just his, ladies and gentlemen. Not mine. People thought hell is a concept, or no, hell is a place. Hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. You got that? Hell is down there. It's underneath your feet. It is a geographical location. And people who die go there. Why sacrifice? Because the wages of sin must be paid. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, said he gave his life a ransom for many. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, who gave his life a ransom for all. Now, if you're one of the limited atonement people, what are you going to do with that verse? He gave his life a ransom for how many? Most? Part? Some? All that would become good Baptist? All. The ransom was sufficient for all. Now, you've got to avail yourself of it, but the sacrifice or the payment for sin's wages has already been made. 2,000 years ago, the Savior of the world shed his blood on Calvary's cross and ransomed my soul from a devil's hell and purchased my salvation with his blood and his broken body. Number three. Only have five. I'm moving right along. Why a resurrection? Why a Savior? Why a sacrifice? Why a resurrection? I like this part. I like resurrection. Why a resurrection? Well, because sin killed the inner man and the outer man. And salvation, what Christ purchased on Calvary's cross by his broken body and his shed blood, was he purchased life for my dead soul and life for my dead body. And so, when I got saved, the old man internally, the spirit, the internal man, the soul, was made alive. He's resurrected right then, right there, on the spot. And this old carcass continues to kick around for another 20, 30, 40 years, and it's going in the ground. But the payment for the transgression of the flesh has been made. So at the appointed time, guess what? This old body comes up out of the ground. There's going to be a resurrection, because the resurrection was part of the purchase price paid for sin's wages. Acts chapter 17, verse 31, said that because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man, in that he hath given assurance, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The proof, the guarantee, God's seal, God's oath that he will bring you forth from the grave is found in the fact that he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he lives, you live. 1 Corinthians 15 argues the point, if Christ be not raised, then you're yet in your sins. See why? Because he was raised for our justification. He was raised to show the world and testify to the devil and be a spectacle to the angels that Christ died for the sins of the world and that his payment was sufficient not only for our soul but for the sins of our flesh. The resurrection is in the sacrifice, just like healing is in the sacrifice. You hear all these nuts running around, by his stripes we are healed. And they talk about, God don't want you to be sick and you don't have to suffer from cancer. Just claim the victory and all that. Of course, they keep on dying. So they're nuts. They're fruitcakes. Now, listen. I believe in divine healing. I believe God can. I believe God does. And I certainly believe that healing is in the atonement. Not now. Today, you're still going to die. Your body's going to get old and weak and frail and sick, and something another is going to claim it and take it to the dirt. But God's going to heal it, and he's going to resurrect it, and he's going to give you a glorified body like unto his glorified body. 1 Corinthians 15:55 said, O grave, where is thy sting? Now, you ever try to picture that? Oh, grave, where's thy sting? It's like somebody's standing up and he's taunting. It's like the Lord or the Bible, and the Bible has personality of its own. The Bible can foresee, and you know, the Bible does a lot of things that you don't think about. But it's like the Bible saying, okay, death, hey, look over here. Okay, death, where's your sting? Hey, grave. Hey, you big hole in the ground. Where's your victory? It's like the Word of God or God Himself is taunting, making light of, poking fun at, jeering death in the grave. You thought you had it made. You were such a big shot. 6,000 years you claimed everyone. One after another without fail. You got them all. You won. But he who laughs last laughs best. Oh, death, where is thy victory? Some of y'all don't think God would laugh about that. You need to read Proverbs chapter 1. He said, he that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. I love Hosea 13, 14. You know what it says? He said, I will ransom thee from the power of the grave. That's a promise from God. I will ransom thee from the power of the grave. Buddy, I'm a Christian. I'm saved by God's grace, and I may go in the ground, but this old boy ain't going to stay there. I'm going to have restless bone syndrome. Number four. Why believe? Why a Savior? Why a sacrifice? Why a resurrection? Why believe? I'll tell you why I believe. Matthew chapter 25, verse 5 and 6. Because the testimony of the angel. Now they're called, get this word. This word is a mystery to the 21st century, but it's still a real word. It's still in the dictionary. And you can find it, and with careful study, you can figure out exactly what it means. They're called holy. That's something our generation don't know a whole lot about. They're called holy angels. Now, if they lie, they're not holy, they're unholy. Because lying's wicked. Amen. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You have to break God's commandment. So the holy angels said that he arose from the dead. Said, thou seekest Jesus. He is not here, for he is risen. That's the testimony of the angel. Now, that's a pretty good word. I'm willing to take his word. I'll take his word over yours. I'll take his word over Pilate. So I believe in the resurrection because the angel testified that he was raised from the dead. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5 through 8, I believe because the 12 apostles saw him. This is men that spent 3.5 years with him, knew him, knew what he looked like, knew how he lived, knew how he died, knew where he was buried. And they said, we saw him. After we saw him dead. We saw him dead. He was certified dead. And then we saw him alive. So I've got the witness of the angel of the Lord. I've got the witness of the 11 apostles. And then it said, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at one time. So I got 500 independent confirmations that what the angel and the apostle said was in fact so. You say, well, that's just a book. Hey, knucklehead, don't you know anything about law? Don't you know that if a person reduces their testimony to writing before their death, that it is admissible in a court of law as evidence? It's as though he were there presenting it himself. You know what I have here? Paul said, and last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due time. And he reduced it to writing. So I have the written, recorded testimony of the Apostle Paul that he saw Jesus Christ alive after his death. So I've got the angel of God, the 11 apostles, the 500 brethren, and the Apostle Paul. That's pretty good witness, isn't it? Now, I meet people all the time, and they tell me they're a Christian and all that. And I told my wife, I said, you know, oh, so-and-so told me this, that, and the other. I said, but I didn't get a witness. You ever met somebody that said they're a Christian, you don't get a witness? I met a lot of them, but I don't get no witness at all. I get a witness here. I got a witness. Not only that, though, I'll tell you why else I believe. I believe because what I've seen God do in my own heart and on my own life. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm here to tell you that I used to be an atheist or an agnostic, an infidel, a weirdo, a God hater, a Jesus hater. I was loud and verbose and blasphemous, and I spent years doing that, and it didn't take God but two occasions to bring me under conviction and bring me trembling to my knees and open my eyes to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nobody else did that. My mom and daddy didn't do it. My wife didn't do it. It did not happen from outside. Something happened inside. Somebody spoke to my heart, convinced me by their evidence that what they said was so, and drew me as a sinner to repentance at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. That took place in my own heart and in my own life. That's not external. That's not historical. That happened to me. And I can't deny what I've been through myself. Now, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, it is real to me. Amen? I know when I pass from death unto life. I'm going to tell you why I believe. Because God, the Holy Spirit, made it real in here. I'll tell you why else I believe. I believe the story because of what I've seen God do in the lives of others. Now, I've seen some pretty rough people. Hard, wicked, and God the Holy Spirit just melted them right down to butter, son, and changed their outlook, changed their voice, changed their attitude, changed their life, changed their actions. I mean, you would have thought they were a brand new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. They were a new creature created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that they should walk in them. I mean, God did something to them nobody else had ever been able to do, and something they couldn't do for themselves. A lot of them had thrown in the towel and quit and give up. And 5 minutes alone in quietness with the Holy Ghost, and He had them weeping and repenting and turning to Christ. Buddy, it's hard to deny the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a sinner. So, why a Savior? Why a sacrifice? Why a resurrection? Why I believe? And last, and I'll close with this right on time. Why you should believe. Let me tell you why. Because if you don't, you're going to die and go straight to hell. That's why. Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. People always say, now, preacher, just tell it like it is. I want to go to a church with God where it's just gun barrel straight. Okay, here it is, gun barrel straight. Double barrel, big old shotgun. If you don't get saved from your sin, you're going to die and go to hell and burn like a worm in a frying pan. You got that. That's as straight as I know how to make it, and that's absolutely so. Amen? Now, the good thing is this. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants to give you time and space to repent of your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Whosoever will, let him come and take. The Spirit and the bride say, come! God don't want you to die and go to hell. He'll let you if you refuse His offer. If you reject His sacrifice, that's not what He wants. That Bible said, God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. If you die and go to hell, it won't make God happy. You need to get saved because you're a sinner. You need to get saved because if you don't, you're going to spend eternity in hell. I can't think of any better reason than that. Well, I'm a pretty good person, but you're not good enough. Well, I've never been too bad, but you've been a little bad. Well, I'm as good as other people. Yeah, but they're all lost too. Comparing themselves with themselves, they became fools. You're a sinner. Why should you get saved? For reasons 1, 2, 3, 4 that I gave you this morning. Because the wages of sin is death. Because you can't save yourself. Not by works of righteousness that we've done, but by His mercy hath He saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. And by the works of the law should no flesh be justified. Let me tell you why you need to get saved. Because you can't save yourself. Why should you get saved? Because Christ has already done all the hard part for you. All the heavy lifting has already been done. You'd be a fool to turn that down. Somebody offered you a lottery ticket that had a winning number on it, you'd take it in a heartbeat, wouldn't you? So I don't know what got into that fool. He had the winning ticket and he gave it to me. But I'll take it. I'm here to tell you, buddy, I lost on the lottery of life. I'm headed straight to hell. And Jesus Christ came by and said He would pay my debt and pick up my tab and deliver me and set me free. I said, I'll take it. I'll take it. See why? Because I ain't stupid. I ain't stupid. Now one of these days you're going to die. One of these days there's going to be a resurrection. Some to the resurrection of life, and some to the resurrection of damnation. You just got to decide which one you want. If you want a resurrection to life, you have to have He who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy. Thank You that we're saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb.